Well, I'm looking around. Where's the kingdom of heaven? Anyone know where the kingdom of heaven is?
Yeah, here.
It's right there. Right there. Praise the Lord. That's where the kingdom of heaven is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We don't have to run out somewhere to try to find it. We don't have to send someone on a journey for it. We don't have to send someone over to some holy guy to have him get it for us, but it's right here within our hearts. You know, when we worship the Lord, the kingdom of God is within you. Hallelujah. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's within you. Praise God. And that's where the kingdom is. Hallelujah. I'm going to be speaking tonight on the subject of what do you see? What do you see? And turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. Verses 11 and 12. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. You know, it's a very, very important thing that we see what God is showing us. We need to see what God is showing us. In Jeremiah 1, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. And the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word." King James Version says it, "I will hasten my word to perform it." I will hasten my word to perform it. It's an interesting thing that Jeremiah saw. This almond tree is kind of a unique tree, because the almond tree, in the winter months when everything is dormant, it's one of the first trees that starts coming to life and starts shooting out its leaves. So there's something about it. It kind of has the idea that it signifies waker, waker. And, you know, in some ways that speaks to us, because we're supposed to wake up. We're supposed to, this is a new season. God is coming soon. We need to wake up. And so God is sending His word to us. And He's saying, wake up. He said, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" "I see the branch of an almond tree." It's an allusion to being the first tree to wake to life in the winter. It's called the waker. And the word also contains the signification of watching and hastening. Because the word for almond tree is shaked. And the word for "I will hasten" is shoked. It's from the same root. And the almond tree is kind of the emblem of divine forwardness in bringing something to pass. This is something that God is doing, and it's going to happen quickly. So He sees the branch of the almond tree, which is significant. And the Lord says to him, He said, "You've seen correctly." And then He starts pronouncing a bunch of things that He's going to do as a result of seeing this word correctly. I'm not going to that part of it this evening. You know, one of the lessons we need to learn in our Christian journey is to have the ability to see correctly what God shows us and act appropriately. And I have noticed this over the years. So many times I see Christian people. It's like God is trying to speak to them or do something in their lives. And it's like they just kind of, "Oh, it doesn't pertain to me. You know, it's not me. No, no." And they just, like, they're kind of sticking their head in the sand like an ostrich would. And I have noticed this over the years, something that I have spotted. And so God wants us to see what He's speaking to us. Well, that's kind of strange, to see what He's speaking to us. Well, what was it? Habakkuk was standing on the wall. And he said, and he was troubled about something. And he said, "I'm going to stand on the wall. I'm going to wait till I see what God will say to me." And so there is something, it's like the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our spirit, that we can see something And it's important that we see what God is telling us. You know, there's many voices out there in the world. Not all of them are our friend. I'll tell you a little story. Not everything is always as it seems. A district superintendent in Alaska District one time told this story. So I'll repeat it because he did it. Okay. Said there was a little bird. It was up in Alaska. And it was really cold. It was freezing out. And this poor girl, bird, had fallen to the ground and was just sitting there shivering and half dead. I mean, it would have died in a very short period of time. And believe it or not, they have cows in some places in Alaska. And this cow came up and dropped a cow pie right on top of this bird. You say, yuck! You know, that would be horrible. What in the world you do that for, you know? And I mean, you know, this kind of stuff seems to happen to us sometimes too, you know? But I'll tell you a little story about that. That cow pie brought some warmth with it, and it provided some insulation for the bird, and it survived the cold night. So everything was good, right? Well, not exactly. Because in the morning, a fox came along. And the fox, oh, wow. So the fox dug the bird out of its mess that was in and ate him. And the moral of the story is this. Not everyone who dumps on you is your enemy. And not everyone that gets you out of your mess is your friend. It's a story I think that we could learn from. Everything isn't always as it seems. Jesus warned us about that kind of thing too. I'll share a scripture with that in just a moment. Remember the Gibeonites? When Israel was going into the land, they'd conquered Jericho. Then eventually they got Ai, and boy, things were moving right along and everything. They kind of, people got into the motions and everything was going good. And all of a sudden these Gibeonites came along and they dressed in rags and they had moldy bread and everything. And they fooled the Israelites into thinking that they were people that were a long ways off, and they wanted them to make an agreement with them so that they would not harm them. And, oh, that sounds good. Okay, yeah, we'll go along with it. Only to find out they lived right next door. So you see, they didn't bother checking with God. They didn't bother asking for the Lord. Up to this point, they had checked with the Lord. They said, okay, God, what do we do in this situation? How do we win the victory in this battle? And God would give them direction. And here all of a sudden, okay, this looks okay. Yeah, we'll just go along with it. And it wasn't what it seemed out there. And you know, there's things out there in our world that aren't always cracked up to be what they seem like they are. You have to be careful. Part of the problem was that God's orders were to wipe out all the people, all the enemies that came against them. They were to wipe them all out, totally, totally annihilate them. It's a picture of us when we get saved and are walking with God of destroying every move of the enemy that comes against us. We're not to make any agreement with them. We're not to play patty cakes with them. We're not to treat them lightly. We're to put the enemy totally out of our lives. Get rid of him. Don't let him get an inroad into your life at all. So the Gibeonites ended up, they made the treaty, and it ended, they ended up, they were kind of thorn in their side then. So we need to be careful that we do not be deceived into allowing even a hint of sin into our lives. Do not allow the enemy to cause you to question God's word. This is God's word. What he said, he means, and what he means, he said. And you know something about God? He doesn't have to come back. Well, I really meant this. So we'll change it here a little bit. No, what God says is eternal, forever and ever and ever. It's good for the test of time, forever and ever. He never fails. It's always truth. What God speaks is truth anytime. It fits every situation completely, and there's no way that you and I can get away from it. So we need to be careful that we believe everything that God says in this book. Don't allow you to have the enemy question the book. Oh, well, this doesn't line up over here, and somehow this, you know, they're not compatible. Skip it. If you don't understand it, well, then accept what you do have and run with it. But don't question the book. Hallelujah. There's an answer. If you dig far enough, if you dig deep enough, ask the right people, maybe you'll find the answer. But don't just automatically discount the book, because the book is truth. The book is life. Hallelujah. Remember when the serpent came to Eve in the garden? And he came up with this deal with, has God said, you know, has God said? And do you know something? The strange thing is about it, it's God uses, the devil's using the same tactic today. And they fell back then, and they keep falling today. They keep believing the lie of the enemy. They bring questions into the hearts and minds of people and cause them to question God's word. Has God said? Did he really mean this? And then they have the idea of picking and choosing. Well, we'll accept this. You know, this is good. We'll run with this. Our nation's really got onto this part. You think, oh man, we got a godly nation. They believe that God loves everybody. And that love covers everything. We don't have any problems. We'll ignore all these things over here that's going on because God's love. And if you don't accept this stuff that they're doing over here, well, then you don't love. You hate.
Yeah.
You hate. Be aware of the devil's schemes and give him no place. When Jesus was disputing with the Jews one time, he said, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. In other words, a little bit of discernment. You know, when I'm listening to a message, you do that to me, do it. When I'm listening to a message from somebody, or somebody's talking about some godly things, I am comparing that with the scripture that I know. Know the scripture. Read it. Know it. I know some people that have never read the Bible through. They don't know what's in it. They listen to what the pastor tells them about it, or the Sunday school teacher, or get a little dab here, a little dab there and everything, but they don't know the scripture. And they end up getting in trouble as a result of it. Because they think that, oh well, I heard something about this, or I heard about that, and something else. Don't ever let the world tell you about God. The world doesn't know God. The world out there does not know God. Look on the National Geographic, they'll tell you all about God. Or look on the History Channel, they'll tell you, oh, this is Jericho, this is blah, 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 blah. Write it all off. I don't even waste my time looking at it. It's a waste of time because they don't know what they're talking about. It's a worldly man, the natural man, that's trying to understand the spiritual things of God. And it can't happen without the Spirit of God.
Right.
It takes the Spirit of God to do that. Hallelujah. So Jesus, when he was disputing with the Jews, he says, don't judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Now, there's another thing we must understand, that what God has spoken in his word is absolute truth. The devil's the liar. He's the father of lies. But God speaks truth. You want to know absolute truth? Truth is here. It's in this book. It never changed. It doesn't have to change because it's truth. Hallelujah. It'll never change. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? In Matthew 5:18 says, for assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall by no means pass from this law until it's all fulfilled. So recognize that what he says he means. A lot of times we, even as Christians sometimes, kind of wrestle with that a little bit. Because see, sometimes God gets in our face about something. Something that we're doing wrong and everything. He gets in our face about it and, I didn't hear that. I'll get over here. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's doing really good. You know, but we kind of ignore what God's really saying to us. God speaks to our hearts. He uses our conscience, even though a lot of times our conscience is kind of wiped out because of, neglecting that and everything. God does speak to us through our conscience a lot of times. And you know something I found out? I was trying to run from God for several years when I was a teenager. I was running from God. You know what? I had a mother that was praying for me. All the terrible things. My mother was praying for me. And do you know something? I ran into roadblock after roadblock. As I was trying to enjoy the things of the world, it was like there was a roadblock here and there was a roadblock there. That old idea, hedge them in with thorns so it'll guide you to the place to where you come back to the Lord. And I couldn't run away from God. Every time I turned around, I was facing Him. That's a good place to be. Good place to be. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. Especially a mother's prayer. Especially a mother's prayer. Very, very powerful. Hallelujah. You have to recognize that God's word is truth and it's going to last forever. And what he said, he means. Now, this doesn't always work with us. You see, we grew up in society a lot of times where mom and dad say to kids, okay, I don't want you to do this. Next thing you know, they're doing it. Well, you quit that now. And they keep doing it, you know. And pretty soon we just give up and walk away. Or if you don't do this, I'm going to send you to your room. Well, they never seem to get sent to the room. Or they, you know, it's like we fail to act on a, we don't back up what we said with our kids. We don't back it up. We raised one boy and two girls. And we could go to anybody's house anywhere. And they welcomed us because our kids were well behaved. And they wouldn't get into things. They wouldn't get into mischief, get into things, break things, or anything like that. We could go anywhere. We were welcome there. Unfortunately, you see, I married a good Christian gal. And we kind of worked together. We didn't let one kid work against the other, against the parents. And I've watched those very same kids who were raised right to do this and then end up marrying a spouse that didn't see that exactly that way. They didn't believe in discipline. They didn't believe in some of this stuff. And so they would tell them stuff and the kids would just ignore them. Tell them stuff and the kids would just ignore them. And pretty soon the kids run in the home. Really, the kids run in the home. And it gets to be a pretty sad situation. You have to recognize that what he says, he means. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not like that. This God, when he speaks something, he means what he said. He isn't going to turn from it. We have to lie. We don't get to make the rules. Well, God, I'll serve you, but I'm going to do it this way. Or I'm going to do it that way. I have my own idea of what you'll go along with. And I'll make it somehow. It's not the way it works. Because God is the one that tells He's the one that's created us. He's the one that's made us. He's the one that made the rules. This is how you're going to get to heaven. This is how you're going to have a relationship with me. It's found in the pages of this book. Hallelujah. And you aren't going to come there by some other way. You're not going to pull wool over the eyes of God. I guarantee you that. You might fool people, but you don't fool that. Don't fool God. Paul, the apostle, likened their journey to building a building. To building a building. And over the building has to have a solid foundation, and the building must be built in an orderly fashion. In our building, to make a habitation for God, there's some things that are absolutely vital to understand. One of them is that we must correctly see what God is showing us. Then number two, we must be ready to act on what we have seen. And number three, we must believe that He will hasten His word or quickly bring it to pass in our lives. So let's look at this building Paul talked about. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 9. Said, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Do you really believe the word? To defile the temple, in verse 17 says, will bring about our destruction. To defile his temple, because the temple is holy. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, I believe the Spirit of God left Adam and Eve because he couldn't dwell in sin. He couldn't dwell in sin. But you know, when Jesus came down here and he died on the cross and we accepted him and his blood covers us, now this makes it different because the Holy Spirit can take up residence within us and can work in our hearts and lives. Hallelujah. And in this building, for him to take up residence in here, this building must be done correctly. It has to be built on a foundation. And it says, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 11 there. And it said, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I don't know about you, but when we get ready to go over there, I don't want to have all my work burned up. Just merely make it into heaven by the skin of my teeth. That's not a way I want to go to heaven. You think, we got an eternity out there. We have an eternity out there. I would rather go into heaven, praise the Lord, with some works behind me. This building is going to stand because it was built on a proper foundation with proper materials and everything. And it's going to stand, and I will have a reward over there. Hallelujah. This will be an eternity. It's going to make a difference over there, what we do here. And if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And anyone who disrupts and destroys the church by division, malice, and other harmful acts invites God's discipline. I know of a particular church right now that is going through, it's going to take God to really bring a recovery of this particular church. And it's going down the tube, period. It's literally going down the tube. And it's sad because there's a few people that decided this was how God works. And they tried to push things through in their own strength and do their own thing and everything. And they're up there serving the Lord and praising the Lord and everything. And it's all flesh. And it's fallen apart. The numbers are way down. They're going down the tube. It's just a sad situation. And anyone who disrupts or destroys the church by division, malice, and other harmful acts invites God's discipline. I'd like to look at another part, 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. This is kind of talking a little bit more about building too, a little different way. 1 Peter 2, 4 says, "Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore it is also contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word which they were also appointed." I'm going to look into that on that in a bit here. You know, your foundation kind of begins when you first recognize that you're a sinner and you can't save yourself. And do you know something? I really don't believe that you can be saved. Anyone out there in the world can be saved until they first realize that they're a sinner and they need to be saved. Would you agree with me? Until the Holy Spirit convicts them that they are a sinner and that they need God, everything's fine. You know, they think about this idea of the scales, you know. Well, if the good deeds outdo the bad deeds, you know, then I'll make it in heaven. Everything will be okay. There's a lot of people have that false concept of God. And in all reality, we're all sinners. We're all lost. We're all doomed for hell. Except we accept what the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. So we have to recognize, first of all, that we're a sinner and we can't save ourselves. And when we have to see that. You have to see that. You can't be saved until the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. You must see that and you have to come into agreement with that. I agree with that. I'm a sinner. And you know, a lot of times when the Lord speaks to me about something in my life maybe, and he's touched it, he said, "You need to make a change here." My first response needs to be, "Yes, Lord, I'm sorry. That's sin. And I renounce it. I turn from it." You know, you have to see it, and then you have to come into agreement with it. But there's so, I don't know, I see so many people, they're just ignoring that. They walk around like they're in some kind of bubble or something. Like, well, you know, I got a special deal with God. He's letting me get away with this. You know, it's all right. Everything's going to be fine. No, everything is not going to be fine. Everything is not going to be fine. It can affect your eternal destiny. First Corinthians 6. In verse 9, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Do we know that? Can we see that? The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's God's word. That's what he said. And I don't care how you want to dress it up. I don't care how you want to try to twist that around or anything. You cannot get away with what God says. And that word will sometime judge the person that wants to go contrary to it. That word will hold him accountable. God won't change his mind. This is what... And then it goes on, he says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Such were some of you, but you are washed. In other words, what is there? There's a change. Someone had to recognize, yes, that's me. I'm sorry, God. Forgive me of my sin. There was a change of behavior. They turned to God and God forgave them. And they moved on from there. Hallelujah. Such were some of you. But now you're washed. Hallelujah. You're under the blood. Praise God. You can come before Him in His righteousness. In His holiness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. Praise God. Amen. There's a lot of false religious leaders out there. And it just makes me sick. I've seen some of them on TV here promoting some of this garbage that they're trying to have people vote on. You know, like marriages between same-sex marriages. And who is it that's promoting it? Some religious leaders. Some religious leaders. This is what the Bible said. And they ignore it. They dress it all up in religion. The world out there thinks, oh, this is okay. God loves everybody. And if we go contrary to that, then we're hate mongers. Yeah. We're the ones that's creating the problem. White is now black and black is now white. That's our world out there that we live in, folks. They pick and choose from the word wherever they want to promote. They walk on dangerous ground. I can say that right now. They walk on dangerous ground. I would not want to be in their shoes. I would not want to be in their shoes. 1 John 1:7-8. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then from verse 11 that we read before here, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If we say that we have no sin, all we're doing is deceiving ourselves. For the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not one of us righteous. No, not one. Jeremiah said that, I think. 1 Peter 2:7-8. Therefore to you who believe, He is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. You see, there were some religious leaders who were disobedient. And when Jesus came, who was it? The scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these ones who purported to be religious people didn't recognize the Son of God when He came on the scene. You see, they were blind. They couldn't see. that this was the one that they had been waiting for all the time. They were blind to the truth. Blind. Willingly blind. Because of their own ambition, because of their own ideas, that they were kind of running the show in Israel. And they didn't want to disturb the Romans here and have them shut their little program down that they had going in the temple. Because that would have happened maybe if things got too out of hand. Then Rome would have stepped in and they would have lost their position as being the priests and the rulers and all that kind of stuff. Oh, don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat. Not a good place to be, really. Not really a good place to be. But you know what? Let's talk about this building. Talking about a building. Said the one, the stone that you rejected has now become the chief cornerstone. I don't know about you, but any time I've been involved in building, and I've been involved in quite a bit of building. I used to nail sheetrock in buildings. And, you know, when you start a building, you don't start out in the middle here somewhere and say, okay, we're going to start the building here now, you know, and we just start going out from here. No. What do? You start in a corner. You start in a corner. And this is our starting point. And Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And the building then has to be squared up with a line. You measure the length. The walls have to be so much. It has to be 90 degree angles kind of stuff. And it has to be built according to the plan and leveled according to the cornerstone. You don't go up over here and then you go down over there. And, you know, the building doesn't go like that. But I can tell you one thing. I've nailed some sheetrock in places. We used to come in, you know. And we would go in a corner like that. We'd put a 12-foot piece of sheetrock up. It fit tight against the wall. And the end wall, it's like it was tight in one corner and about 3/4 to an inch off on the, in that much distance, 4 foot, it was off an inch and a half sometimes. You know, and you try to put sheetrock in a place like that, man, you're fighting it all the way through. You try to hang doors in there and everything's, you know, you try to put cabinets in there, and the cabinets don't fit. You have to kind of try to trim and try to ship, you know. It's a mess. It's a mess. So in order for a building to be done right, it's got to be done correctly. And there's an order in the building, in the way the building comes. I want to read another scripture. Go along with this. This sounds like a strange one for building, but here it is. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. But how does this fit in the building? Well, I'll tell you how it fits in the building. When you have a building, you have somebody that supervises it. And the building has to be done in order. And here comes this jolly old Christian. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm casting out demons and I'm doing this and everything. Who's the head, though, of the church? Jesus Christ. And and what's the deal here? It says, only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So the Father speaks to you. The Father is the one that directs you. And he said, oh, I want this wall built right here. No, I want to build this deal over here instead. I'm going to do this. These are all good things. But it's not at the right time. Can you imagine you got a building, you got some foundations and everything. An electrician comes in there. Okay, I'm going to start hanging some wiring up here. On what? You have to have a wall before you can hang wiring on it. Yes. You know what I mean? But see, Christians sometimes will come in and, well, I'm doing my thing. I'm working for God. Hallelujah. I'm just working really hard. And I'm doing this over here. And I'm doing that over there. But is it what God wanted them to do? No. They're doing their own thing. And when it all comes down to it, Jesus said, depart from me because I never knew you. You didn't have a relationship with me. You didn't ask me what I was supposed to be doing. You didn't pray about it. You were just doing your own thing. No matter how good it might seem or whatever, it didn't make any difference. You're just doing your own thing. And you know, sometimes maybe God's into salvation right here. Oh, let's do some healing over here. No, he's into salvation. You know, or vice versa, or whatever. What is God doing? I have been seeking the Lord. It's a passion with me. When I come into service, I said, God, what are you doing today? What are you doing here today? What are you doing? And a lot of times the Lord will give me word. And sometimes, there's been some times, a couple times I know that I failed to give that word because it just didn't seem to be quite right with what was going on. And then come to find out, the pastor got up and preached on the very thing that the Lord gave me. So what's the most important? It's important to do what God wants you to do. Amen. And I'm seeking the Lord. God, what are you doing? Amen. Speak to me. What are you saying to this body? I love you people. I want God's best for you. I want God's perfect will for you. I want to see you walk in the fullness of the Spirit. I want to see God do a mighty work in you and use you mightily. Hallelujah. And so my passion, my goal, is to seek the Lord. Lord, what are you doing? What are you saying to us? What are you saying to us? Yeah. And pastor's that. That's what's pastor doing? He's doing the very same thing. He's up here and he's preaching what God's telling him to preach. Yes. Sometimes he had notes there and, it's time to do this. You know, and he's doing what God wants him to do. It's important to move with God. Hallelujah. So this building has to be done correctly. You have to walk in the Spirit. You have to do what the Lord tells you to do, just not things. Not just doing a bunch of things. And the things might seem good on the outside, and it might be things that God might have you do at some time, at some place, but maybe not when you're doing it. So we need to be listening to Him. We need to see what God's doing. What is He showing us? What is He telling us? Seek the Lord and walk in that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we're talking about salvation. When you see correctly, He saves you and forgives you of all your sins immediately. And He hastens His word to perform it. I'd like you to turn to another scripture. Isaiah chapter 28. It was just by chance that I ran across the scripture. And I need that scripture. Isaiah chapter 28, beginning with verse 15. He said, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Also, I will make justice the measuring line. And righteousness, the plummet. That's like a plumb bob to get a straight wall. See? And hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and waters will overflow the hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes out, it will take you. For by morning, it will pass over. And by day and by night, it will be a terror just to understand the report. And then down in verse 22, it says, now therefore, do not be mockers, lest your bonds be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord of hosts, a destruction is determined even upon the whole earth. Now, Isaiah had been prophesying to these people that there's a destruction coming. There's a problem coming. It's coming out of the north. Jeremiah, he saw a deal. He saw a vessel that was poured out of the north upon Israel. There was destruction coming upon Israel because Israel had walked away from God. They turned away from God. They were doing their own thing. They were seeking other gods. They were not walking correctly. And what they were basically saying was, oh, we made an agreement with the underworld, and we made an agreement with Sheol, the grave, and all that stuff. And we're not worried about any of this. It's going to pass over top of us. Try to tell that to God. And God was telling them right here. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Also, I will make justice the measuring line. Justice is going to measure you. Justice will measure you. Hallelujah. And righteousness will be the plummet, the plumb bob. Who's going to keep you on track is going to be righteousness. Hallelujah. And what do? We're standing in Christ's righteousness. Hallelujah. We are standing in Christ's righteousness as long as we're walking with Him. And He said, also, I will make justice the measure line and righteousness the plummet. It said, the hail will sweep away the refuge of lies. You've hidden yourself in this pile of lies that you've made it. You kind of, you know, just ignore the truth. It'll go away. I'll do this. It'll be all right. God won't bother me. You know what? There'll be a day coming. The hail's going to sweep away those lies. God's going to sweep away those lies. And the waters will overflow the hiding place. These scornful rulers of Jerusalem had the audacity to think they could actually make a covenant with death and with Sheol. That when this calamity from God would come upon them, they would miss out on it. If we haven't agreed with the truth when we saw it, when we acted contrary to what we have seen, it will be as lies. Lying to ourselves or believing the lies of the devil instead of the truth that God has tried to reveal to us, it would be like lulling ourselves to sleep in our carnality. Boy, what a place to be. Lull yourself to sleep. We'll be okay. We'll be all right. God loves us. God loves us. God loves us. Don't you know that? God loves us. He's not going to do anything to us. He loves us. The hail will sweep them away. The lies, they'll all be gone. The lies which were our refuge will not stand the test. They will fail us. The waters will overflow our hiding place where we have hidden from the truth. And we will stand before Him exposed to real truth. It'll be too late to do anything about it. When we hid in this place of lies, we actually made a covenant with death, because that was our agreement with Satan when we entered into, when we allowed ourselves to be led astray. You're led astray? You entered into agreement with Satan. You're walking out from under God's covering of protection. And we also made an agreement with Sheol, with the grave. We were deceived in our thinking that God was like a man and that He would overlook our folly. And that's the wrong thing to think. God is not a man that He should lie. What He says He means, He will not change. Don't mock God, lest your bonds become strong. A destruction is coming on the earth. There's a destruction coming on the earth. At some point, there'll be a destruction coming on the earth. We don't really want to be around here when that happens. We don't want to be around here. But He said, don't mock God, lest your bonds become strong. Now, Pastor's been preaching here on strongholds. If we follow after the lies of the enemy instead of seeing what God is showing us, we're placing ourselves into a stronghold of Satan. And that's what we need to try to avoid. Don't be deceived. What God says, He means, and He doesn't change His mind on that. Sin will be judged. And we can take care of it right now by just asking the Lord to forgive us what we're fighting through and ask Him to come in and to make us new creation in Christ Jesus. That's the solution to it. That's the only solution to it. So we must be ready to act on what we've seen. So moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. And the Lord said, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. I will hasten my word to perform it. Are you seeing what the Lord is showing you? Talk about salvation. Romans 10, 8 to 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes on the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made on salvation. When God shows us anything, we must be ready to act on it. If we choose to ignore what we are seeing, we are placing ourselves at risk and stepping out from under God's protection. In effect, placing ourselves as the ruler of our lives, which is idolatry. God says, you shall have no other gods before me. That's right. If we're making ourselves our own ruler, then it's idolatry. It's just plain and simple that way. It's another stronghold. In our building, that is as far as we will advance. Let me give you a little secret. When you're moving along in God and everything's going good, that's great, and everything, you're growing in the Lord and everything, and you want to move up to another level, you want to grow in the Lord and everything. Everything's working fine until God touches that one thing in our lives and says, I want to deal with that in your life. What are you going to do about that? Can you see? What is he trying to tell you? If we refuse to take care of that situation, if we refuse to go there and do something about that, you are effectively terminating how far you've gone in the Lord. That's as far as you're going. Don't think about moving up. You are not moving anywhere. And you might say, well, I don't like what's going on here. I'm going to go over to another church. You went over to the other church. Guess what? That same problem's going to be waiting for you over there. Different people and everything, but the same problem. Oh, I don't like it here. I'll run over to this church. Same problem. You'll face it. You can't run away from it. God will not allow you to move on beyond that point where you're at until you're ready to face, see what he's saying, and be ready to do something about that. And when you do that, when you make that move and say, okay, God, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I need to make this change in my life. I need to obey you. And when you do that, then God will bless you and he'll move you on then. There's another thing you have to recognize. You're at this particular level right now. I don't know what level you're at. You're at some level. Okay? And you're walking with the Lord. But there's an enemy that's also at that level where you're at. Something that you're fighting, something that you have to overcome, something that you have to do, something that's, there's an enemy there, and maybe that enemy's big, and you seem small. Well, you gotta keep getting into this. You gotta get into this, and you gotta find out, what is God saying about me? What does he say about me? Said, I am more than conqueror through Jesus Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. If we will take that word and we will feed on that word and allow it to build ourselves up, pretty soon we are getting like this and the enemy is like this and we can overcome that enemy. That thing that was holding us back, that thing that was keeping us down, we are now the ruler over that enemy. And God then can move you on to another level. And do you know what? When you get up to that other level, you're going to find all of a sudden, you get the enemy again, there he is, he's bigger than you are again. And God's going to begin to deal with your life. And when you're going along, You're going to have to build yourself up in the Word. You're going to have to listen to the preaching of the Word. You're going to have to build yourself up until you are bigger than that enemy again. Then you can overcome him and you're ready to move on to the next level. And if at any point you refuse to do what you see, what God's shown you, what God is touching on your life by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you refuse to go there and deal with that, that's as far as you're going. You're not going any farther. And you can play games, and you come in here and praise the Lord and everything, and pretty soon you're going to get tired and you're going to get wore out, and you got this battle going on you're not really, really willing to deal with, and it's going to beat you down. And you, in order to get the victory, you're going to have to, okay, God, this is what you're showing me. Holy Spirit, this is what you're convicting me of. Okay, I give it to you. You have to do that. If you don't do that, you're not going any on. You're going, you're just, that's as far as you're going. And you end up with problems. Okay, so you don't want to ignore the issue or refuse to deal with it. You need to deal with it. Ezekiel 33:11 says, "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel?" Jacob's life was built around the idea that he was a deceiver. When he was born, and Esau came out first, and Jacob reached out and grabbed hold of his heel. And so they called him a deceiver from the very beginning. That's what his name meant. Jacob was a deceiver. He's trying to steal something that wasn't his. And then you find out as he grew up, Esau came in one day, he was all hungry, and he was about wiped out and everything. And Jacob had some stew going, and he said, "Let me have some of your stew. I'm about ready to die." So what happened? He said, "Well, okay, I'll give you some stew, but sell me your birthright." See, he deceived Esau into giving up his birthright for a mess of beans. And then he goes on through life. And his father Isaac was getting ready to bless the firstborn, which was Esau. Told him, "Go on out hunting and get me some of your good game and everything. Cook it like I like, and I'll put my blessing on you." And Jacob listened to his mother, put skin on his arms so they, and Isaac, his eyes were gone. He couldn't really see anything. He deceived Isaac into giving him the blessing, thinking it was Esau. So he deceived. That was his name, Jacob. So they send him to Laban up north, to Padan Aram. Laban, the brother, the part of the family. And then that deception starts coming back on him through Laban. He works 7 years for Rachel. And when the 7 years up, okay, we're going to have a marriage ceremony, it's dark out and everything, he slips Leah in there, which was the older daughter. And in the morning he finds out, it's Leah. "You deceived me!" Well, you're the deceiver. It comes back on you. What you reap, you sow. What you sow, you reap. You know, it comes back on you. And, you know, you follow on through, and that happens all the way through Jacob's life. Until one day when he was headed back for home, and he came to the stream, he sent his family across the stream and said he wrestled with God. And you know, when that happened, and he would not turn loose, he said, "I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go until you bless me." And he changed his name. Changed his name from Jacob, which was deceiver, to Israel, which was prince with God. And do you know something? We need to wrestle with God sometimes. You know, we have issues in our lives, everything. We need to do a little wrestling. We need to work through this problem that we have. And if it takes a little work on our hands, on our part, let's do it. If we have to stay up in the, all night or something and pray about it, do it. Whatever it takes, do it. Because we want to have our name changed too. We must believe that he will hasten his word and quickly bring it to pass. Then the Lord said to me, "You've seen well, for I'm ready to perform my word," or "I will hasten my word to perform it." When we begin to see correctly, God will quickly bring us into step with him, and we'll grow up into him, become the temple or resting place for God's Spirit to dwell in. As we come into agreement with his word and not allow ourselves to be deceived, we move into his favor and have his blessing on our lives and be ready as mature believers to be salt and light out there in our world, in our sphere of influence, and truly be his ambassadors to the world. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" I said, "I see a branch of an almond tree." And the Lord said, "You have seen well." So when the Lord speaks to your heart, what do you see? He maybe asks you, "What do you see? What do you see?" And when you see correctly, then God can begin. He'll quickly work. It's like the almond branch. It's the first one that springs to life. Life is going to spring up. Hallelujah. He's going to bring his word to pass in your life. You know, we're walking in difficult times now. It's imperative that we learn to see what God is showing us and not be led astray. You know, devil's been around a long time. Devil's been around a long time. He's got thousands of years, where he's honed his tricks and deceptions and lies and everything. But it's still interesting. He still keeps using the same lies. Has God really said? Has God really said? Oh, you can get by with that. That's okay. It's all right. It's all right. God knows. He loves you. Hallelujah. Nothing's going to change. So he's the father of lies and he's a deceiver. And the only way that we can safely keep our lives here is to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. We need to learn to see clearly. We need to especially know, remember that God is not a man that he should lie. And what he said here in this book is eternal, and this book will judge us in that day. This book will judge us in that day. You know, some other cults out there, they've had to make some changes and everything because, this didn't quite line up. So they make some changes. God never has to make any changes because it's always truth. From the beginning, will be truth for eternity. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is eternal. It's absolute truth. Don't allow people out there in the world to shape your image of God into the image that they have of God, which is not the same God that we serve. He will not allow us to move forward till we are in agreement with him in our present circumstances. Then he will advance us. Are we ready to walk in agreement with him? Don't hide your head in the sand. Don't try to fool yourself. It's lies. The hail will wipe it away. The waters will overflow our hiding place. And there won't be nowhere else left to hide. So we need to, what do you see? Ask today, what do you see? What is the Lord showing you? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. It's eternal, Lord. You never change. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would touch the hearts, our lives this evening, Lord. I pray, O God, that you would help us, Lord. Show us, Lord. Reveal us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Show us, Lord, what you're saying to us. And Lord, if there's some change that needs to be made in our lives, I pray that you will help us to be willing to make that change. Because you're ready to take care of us. You're ready to advance us. You're ready to forgive us. Lord, you don't want to hold anything against us. You want everything to be in right standing, Lord. And when we acknowledge, Lord, our need of your help, And we accept that help, Lord. You are ready to do what you want us to do. Father, bless your people tonight. Touch our hearts together. And Lord, we just pray that your will would be done, Lord, in our lives. We submit ourselves to you. Lord, we want to walk with you. We want to please you. We want your will to be done in our lives. We don't want to be led astray, God, but we want to be obedient to you. We want to be in the place where you want us to be. And Lord, just touch our hearts tonight. We just thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name.